Well, good morning. How are y'all doing? Good. You guys have your Bibles? Oh, see, this is that. Okay, just chapel. Just understand, you come to chapel, just your Bible, something to write with, something to write on. That's all you're going to need. Quick introduction. My name is Brian. I'm from California. It is much more humid here than out there, and I have the sweat pores of almonds. I feel like I just sweat like a pig. So if all of a sudden you start seeing stuff growing, don't touch me afterwards, but we'll get to know each other better. I'm married to Kelly. She's a hot woman who loves Jesus, and I'm not kidding. Like, you look at this and say, there's no way, and I say, Jesus gave me one. So, and then I've got I got two little boys at home. Little is kind of a relative term. My oldest is 11. His name's Tyler. He's 11, but he's almost 5'4", which is huge. Like, somebody's sitting there going, I'm not even 5 foot. It's okay. If you're vertically challenged, you'll be okay throughout life because you fit in airplanes. I don't, but you do perfectly. But he's like 160 pounds also, so dad's got to be working out pretty hard because there's no way that I will let my boy ever beat me at wrestling, ever. I will destroy him. And then Dylan, he's my 9-year-old. He's a little smaller. He's a scrappy little guy. But they couldn't come because they're out in California visiting with my in-laws. Other than that, that's really all you need to know. Let's talk about Jesus, shall we? Let's pray. We'll jump into this. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us be together. And Jesus, I do pray that you are the center, that you're the center focus of everything that we're about today in this camp. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead us to Jesus. Blow us away, God. Open your word to us. Leave us amazed. But God, do what only you can. Thank you for these students and these youth workers and volunteers and camp staff. God, I pray that all of us would be drawn to love you more. And God, for those who are here that don't know you, God, I pray that they're introduced to you, blown away by your gospel. And so, Jesus, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody who agrees says, amen. Take your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, start at verse 1. First three words in this verse, if you wonder where Luke is, just kind of hit the middle of the Bible and then keep going right. New Testament, third book of the New Testament. Luke chapter 5, so find that big 5 and then go to verse 1. It says this, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him being Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. The first three words of that verse is this, on one occasion. Here's kind of what we do with Jesus. It's kind of like, okay, I've got church time, so on Sundays or whatever y'all meet, Sunday, some people meet Saturdays, some people meet Sunday nights. Maybe you do midweek because you have your youth group, and those are the God times. Or we do the God times also kind of like this. It's kind of like, well, I'm having my quiet time. I'm reading the Bible. So I'm reading the Bible for, I do it for 30 minutes. I have a quiet time for 30 minutes. Or I do it for 10 minutes. And then we kind of leave God out of the rest of it, thinking that he's not interested in the rest of our lives. And that really the whole reason came, this is kind of how I used to think, Jesus, the whole reason you came so I can have a quiet time, I can go to church, I can get saved, and I can go to heaven, but forget about the rest of it. And we kind of picture Jesus as the ultimate killjoy. And really, I've kind of come to know Jesus as the ultimate of life. You ever been pranked or, you know, someone makes fun of you just for fun? Someone just punks you just because? I remember I was driving to this chapel once where I was speaking. This is a while back. And I got breakfast at McDonald's, something real quick. And I'm just driving along. And this is kind of sick, but you guys are high schoolers. You can kind of still like this stuff. So I had something caught in my throat. So I had to get it out, right? So I'm driving along. I'm doing like 45 miles an hour. And the window next to me is huge as I'm going. Huge. I should be able to make it out the opening. And so I get it up. I'm not going to make the noise because I know that some of you will gag, so I'm not going to do that. And so I spit it out. I should have looked in the rearview mirror just to make sure there was any cop, but I spit it, and it didn't go out. It went up, and it landed on the frame of the window. And as I'm driving, it's dangling, just kind of like. And so I'm just driving along, and I should have pulled over or something, but I didn't because I was kind of late. So I'm trying to go along. It's just flapping in the wind, and I'm thinking, oh, what do I do? And so I just went like this. I went, ah. And then it's all over my hand. I'm like, ugh. And so I just put it on the carpet of the car. I thought, well, it's not mine after I sold it. So that person has part of my DNA. And this is the first thing that I said afterwards. I said, Jesus, that's not funny. Like that's, I should be able to make it out of this opening. And I couldn't. Why? Because Jesus punked me just because it was fun. And so I'm sitting there and go, gosh, you really think Jesus is involved? And I say, absolutely. Guys, if you're not laughing with Jesus as much as praying to him, you're missing out. Guys, if you've been to Hume, you know that wreck is coming. You guys can do these crazy wild games, and I absolutely love that you get to do that. But here's the thing. If you don't picture Jesus in that aspect also, Guys, you're missing out on a whole lot of Jesus. Who do you think created laughter? Is laughter really that necessary for life? Will you die today if you don't laugh once? Some are like, yes. I don't think so, but I get what you're saying. It's super important. I don't think if you sit there going, guys, say something. Be funny, because I got to laugh. I'm going to die. If it hits midnight, I'm gone. No, I don't think it works like that. But we love to laugh. Have you ever noticed how fun it is to laugh? And you ever noticed the kind of different laughs that we have? Some of you guys have the kind of laugh that makes people want to make you keep laughing because it's so cute. It's like angels descending, and then all of a sudden you were just laughing like crazy. It's just like the cutest thing ever. And then there's the others of you. Yeah, it's like listening to somebody skin a cat. And so when you laugh, like, people's ears are bleeding. It's like, stop. It's like, say, punch them in the face. Like, get them to stop. This is no good. But imagine if we all had the exact same kind of laughter. Imagine it was the exact same. So on the count of three, we're going to do the same laugh, okay? So on the count of three, don't go yet. But on the count of three, you're going to go, ha, 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 and you're going to stop and be quiet. Now, there's always one of you. Like, I'll go, ha, 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 and then goes, eh, and then like, So I'm just going to point you out. You already suck. Don't do it. But here we go, okay? On the count of three. And this only works if you do it right. So it's ha, 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 then psh. Okay, ready? One, two, three. There it is. Okay, there's always one. Always one, you little brat. Okay, so I know where you sleep. Okay, so guys, if that's all it was, ha, 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 psh. I thought, gosh, that would be so boring. But have you ever laughed so hard that your stomach felt like it was just going to explode? Like it's like something's just like, trying to get out, and you can't stop laughing. You're like, and you're just letting loose. You ever gotten the case of the giggles in class, in school? Oh. Isn't that amazing and terrifying all at the same time? I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was about. In my senior year, my English class, me and my three buddies were all put in the front right next to each other, and I thought, this is like having an audience. Like, why would you do this? And so I remember we were cutting up a little bit, something. And my English teacher, she always used the big words that none of us ever, I didn't know what that meant. Most of the time as she's talking, I'm thinking, is that even English? I don't understand what you're talking about. And she goes, Brian, do I need to ostracize you? And I'm like, okay, the only, I coincided ostracized with circumcised. And I thought, I don't think I want that. So I said, no, thank you. And she goes, well, then you need to stop. And I'm like, if you did, my mom would be so mad at you. So we're just sitting there, and they're all kind of laughing at me, but I can feel it. It's like I finally stopped laughing, but then I can feel my friend. I can feel him staring at me. And then it's like, I'm not looking. I'm not going to look, but then it's like a tractor beam, right? Your head just kind of starts going. You're like, no, 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 no. And then I made the mistake where I gave in, you know what I'm talking about? You just kind of do this, and then you make this, the most unbelievable noise that could come out of your, it's like, because you're trying to hold it in, and I just lost it, and we're laughing, and then I got ostracized, which means to just separate yourself and be in the back of the room, and I was like, oh, I can do that, that's fine. Guys, some of you guys are missing out on so much Jesus because it's just, oh, it's when I sing or it's when I pray or it's when I have a quiet time or it's when I'm at church and that's it. Guys, this is just a normal day. This is when guys are out doing their job and Jesus shows up. And so let me ask you a question. Are you missing out on Jesus because you're not looking for him in the regular mundane part of life? Are you looking for everything? Is he involved in every aspect or is he just the Jesus time? On one occasion, doesn't give a specific day. It's not like church day, but Jesus shows up where all of them are. There's this massive crowd of people who are there to what? They're there to hear him teach the word of God. Guys, do you approach this as if God wrote it? Guys, you realize that this was written over 1,500 years, three different continents, three different languages, authors that ranged from kings to peasants. And guys, this is the number one bestseller of all times. This is the book that has changed cultures, societies, that has brought down governments, that has changed whole people groups. Because they followed it, because they looked at what it said and they said, yes, we want to follow this Jesus. Or is this just one of those things that's like, it's too thick. I don't like to read. And I beg to differ because most of you have smartphones. And that's kind of all you do. Isn't that what we do? But we scroll and read. I've never had someone say, I hate to read. Well, when you get a text message, you go, I hate to read. Will you read that for me? We don't do that. Why? Because the text message is personal. Do you realize that this book right here was written by God for us that we might know him better, know what our problem was, and what it is that he did to remedy it? Guys, they came to hear the word of God taught, which is pretty much what we're doing here. So on one occasion, just this normal day, here's Jesus in this massive crowd. There's these two boats by the lake. There's fishermen who had gone out. They came back. Why? Because they didn't catch anything. They washed their nets. They're done for work. Verse 3. Getting into one of the boats, which Jesus didn't even ask permission. Isn't that weird? He didn't walk in. Hey, can I use your boat? He just gets in. If you own the boat, all of a sudden someone just gets in. Why don't you go, excuse me. Hey, how you doing? Nice boat. Okay, so getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Do you know why Jesus did that? It's not like he's just sitting there going, I love how it rocks. I just love that. No, do you know why he did that? There's this massive crowd. You know the best way that they can hear him better? Is that they push him out a little bit. Why? Because then the water becomes a natural microphone. The sound bounces off the water and goes to the crowd so they can hear him. He can speak normal and thousands of people can hear what he's saying. So here's God. He's like, he knows acoustics more than anybody else. Getting into one of the boats, pushes him out a little bit. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Guys, you ever feel like God has ever asked you to do something that just doesn't make sense? They'd worked all night, caught nothing. It's now daytime. This is not the time to go fishing. This is not the time to catch fish. It's usually early in the morning or late in the evening when it's cooler. They know what they're doing. This is their job. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, this carpenter, who comes in and tells them, this is what you should do. It's the middle of the day. It's super hot. I know you caught nothing, but I think you should go back out, take your nets, throw them over, and bring in a big old catch. It's going to happen. Guys, that doesn't make any sense. Me and my buddy were at lunch a few years ago. We were just talking. It's great. I mean, this is my best friend, loves Jesus. We could talk about Jesus, family, just going through life. We're at this place called Rubio's. I don't even know if you have that out here. It's like this fish taco place on the West Coast. And when we're done, almost when we're done, it's like 15 minutes before we're done, I just had this thought in my mind because I saw this young lady, she's like 20, walk past us. In my mind, I heard this, and I think it was Jesus. Sometimes, don't you have a hard time kind of decipher? God, was that you? Was that me? Was that the devil? Was that pepperoni pizza? Like, what was that that popped into my head? I don't understand what's going on. And so the thought came, hey, tell her that she's loved. And in my mind, I'm like, no, because that's like a cheesy Christian pickup line, isn't it? Hey, just want to let you know you're loved. I mean, I'm already married. I'm like mid-30s at the time. Like, no, I'm like having this argument with God. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And so we're finished. We're going. I go refill my drink, and he walks out ahead of me. And the thought just keeps going. Tell her she's loved. Tell her she's loved. I'm like, no. Like, you some single guy, like who's 21, who needs a woman. Because I have one. I don't need this. This is fine. Just use somebody else. This isn't right. So I get to the door and I can't get out. It's not like, because God shut the door. No, don't do that. So it wasn't like that. I couldn't get past it. Like, it just kept going. So I stopped. I didn't even say anything to my friend. Some reason he turns around and he's probably 6-7 feet in front of me. He goes, you got to go do something for Jesus right now, don't you? I was like, yeah, come with me. He goes, nope, see you later. And he walks off. So I scream, you're dead to me until tomorrow. But right now, I don't like you. So I turn around, and it took me forever. It's like 10 minutes. I'm just standing there. So picture this. Here's the rest. You're the restaurant. I'm at the door. And I just turn around. I'm holding my drink. And I'm standing there forever. It's like, God, don't make me go. Don't I look nuts? Like, I'm just kind of keep. No joke. I was like, okay, I got the nerve. Here we go. And as I start to walk toward the table, I realize there's two of them. I went, son of a gun, are you kidding me? God, no, please. Just tell him she's loved. So I'm a pretty big guy. And so I don't know why I did this. So picture this as the table. I put my drink down somewhere over here. And then I put my hands on the table. And then I leaned up. So now I look like Mammoth Man who's getting ready to murder them at Rubio's. And I can't even look them in the eyes, but I could tell like they had this weird look on their faces like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I said, I don't know if this makes any sense. It just came to my mind. I'm just supposed to tell you that you're loved. Dude, you know what happened? Nothing. Like, I was thinking angels were going to descend. Oh, praise the Lord. No. She didn't look at me and say, tell me about how I can be saved. I want to know Jesus. Nothing. They just stared at me. And this is all I said. Oops, see you later. And I grabbed my drink and I walked out. And as I got to the car, this is the next thing I heard. It's like, just checking. I'm like, just checking? Like, you just want to see if I would do it? That's a stupid joke. Are you kidding me? Don't you just feel like sometimes God will tell you to do things that don't make sense? And for some of you, if it doesn't make sense, it can't be God. And I'm telling you guys, I think a lot of times when it doesn't make sense, it just might be him seeing if we'll actually do it. What if Peter had said no? What would he have missed out on? Watch what happens. Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Isn't that kind of an extreme response? It's like, just because he told him to go out there and it actually worked. Guys, this is unheard of for these fishermen. For them to actually go do this, the only reason they were doing this is because Jesus said, you might want to go do this. And they said, oh, because you are a rabbi, but sure, we'll go try it. And it actually worked, and they caught so many fish that the boats begin to sink. So Simon has this idea. Simon Peter has this idea. Okay, there's something about this Jesus. To where he looks, so Jesus is in the boat with them, and he just looks and says, go away from us, go away from me, because I am a sinful man. Guys, when we're confronted with who Jesus really is compared to who we are, that's the first response that we should have. You say, I've never been afraid of God. Then my conviction is you've never met him. Just his size alone terrifies me. We're afraid of the dentist, but we're not afraid of God? Guys, do you realize that right now, the reason that you're breathing is because of Jesus? You're like, no, I take care of myself. You're not telling yourself in your mind, inhale, exhale, are you? You're not going, inhale, exhale. Can you imagine that existence? How would you sleep? Oh, you got to push play on the, you know, iPod to put in your, inhale, exhale. How do you blink? Oh, you got to tell yourself, inhale, exhale, blink. Inhale, exhale, heartbeat, inhale. Oh, there, you got to keep that going. Why? Because you die if you don't. Inhale, heartbeat, inhale, heartbeat. Inhale, digestion. Yep, there it is. Inhale, exhale. I mean, it's like we can't do anything unless it's Jesus. He's the one who holds it all together. Guys, we have this idea that Jesus is kind of like this Mr. Rogers. You remember Mr. Rogers? How many's like, I don't even know who that is? There's a few of you, okay? You got to go YouTube Mr. Rogers. There's not a lot of things I'll go tell you to YouTube, but I promise you, Mr. Rogers is one you should go YouTube. He's like the nicest guy in the world. Like, you would never crucify Mr. Rogers. But we kind of turn Jesus into that. He's kind of like, he never gets mad. Mr. Rogers comes into his own house, and he's always surprised that we're there. You ever notice that? He walks in, and he turns and goes, oh, hello. I'm telling you, if one of you is just standing in my house one day, and I'm not going to go, oh, hello. I'm going to go, what the crud are you doing in my house? And just start going off. But he's always, and he changes sweaters when he gets inside. He's like, oh, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day. And he got to change his shoes, which I do that when I get home. Don't you put new shoes on? No. Yeah, I don't either. I'm just joking. Okay, so he puts new shoes. But he's always thinking about how excited he is that we're his neighbor. He's just kind of, he's like the nicest guy that ever lived. And we picture Jesus like that. And yet, he's given this title, the Lion of Judah. And we've kind of turned him into the house, the declawed house cat. A declawed, I'm not trying to create division. I'm just not the biggest cat fan. I love dogs. Yeah. But cats kind of got an attitude. Even if you love a cat, you got to admit there's some that just kind of walk around. You're lucky if you're, it's like you're lucky you're in my presence. It's kind of weird. But have you ever seen a declawed house cat? It's like they have no threat. Like they go, and then she keep your hand there just to see what they're doing. They go, brrr. You're like, oh, you're such a poor little creature. All her friends are making fun of it. It just looks so stupid. We kind of turned Jesus into that. Friends, he's the one who created everything. He spoke it into existence. He's the one who keeps it all together. So can you imagine Simon sitting there going, wait, I'm in the presence of something, someone greater than I am, and I'm a sinful man. Guys, that's our first response to Jesus. When you've really encountered this, this sense of fear, and then he invites us into not being afraid. So he says that, he says, I'm a sinful man, I can't be in your presence. Verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, from now on you'll be catching men, which sounds so weird. From now on, hey, don't freak out. I know you caught fish today, but we're going to go catch men. We're going to go catch people. Doesn't that sound like a weird youth group game? You're like, yes, that sounds fantastic. Just throwing nets across your friends. Come with me. I win. I'm the fisherman. You're the fish. And then you get them home and then you gut them. I'm just joking. Go there. I'm just kidding. Okay, you don't go that far. But what's he saying? He's like, no, I got something bigger for you. I'm going to take what you know how to do and I'm going to put a divine purpose to it. When you look at Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus calls the first disciples, he says, follow me. Here's the invitation. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You're like, well, what are you talking about? Yeah, what you're doing right now is great, and it's a great job, and it's wonderful. But I have something so much more about this life that you could never imagine. So what would he say for you? That right now he's like, well, I'm just a high school kid. No, you're not just a high school kid. You're a person who's in high school, and if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus goes, hey, follow me and I'll give you a purpose. There's more to this life than just getting certain things done, checking off boxes, and living this life so you can say, I accomplished something at the end of the day that was about me. No, no. Guys, don't you want to live for something that's bigger than you? Isn't that why we go to movies where the actors are doing things that are larger than life and we wish we could be part of that? And that's what Jesus has called us to. But the first thing he says, don't be afraid. I know this freaks you out, but don't be afraid. From now on, we're going to do something that will leave you breathless. Verse 11. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Two things for you as we close. The first part was back here. Go back to verse 5. When Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will. It's like, Jesus, I'm doing this the best that I can. And nothing changed. But because you said so, I'll try it. But then it leads to the last verse that we just read, verse 11. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They left everything. They left everything. So here's the question. Is Jesus really worth it? Is he worth it to give up everything? Guys, this isn't just, hey, we gave up a week. We went on a retreat or a cute little mission trip. No, they gave up everything. In Matthew chapter 4, it says that they dropped their nets and they went after Jesus. Why is that such a big deal? Because their nets, this was their livelihood. They gave up their jobs. And they said, no, we want to follow you. So here's the thing, guys. I know that in a room with this many people in it, there's some of you, you're here and you adore Jesus. Like, you can't get enough of him. Then there's some of you, you can't stand him. And you maybe even got tricked. Like, hey, we're going to go away for the week. What's going to happen? I don't know, like 100 and something high school kids are just going to get together and hang out and play. Oh, I'm up for that. And then you get here, it's all about Jesus. And you're like, oh, you suck. Okay, so I get that. I know that some of you just can't stand him. Some of you are so ticked off with him right now because of whatever you're facing. This storm that you're facing, you're so angry with God. Why? Because he could fix it, and he hasn't, and I get that. There's some of you who's like, oh, I've gone to church my whole life. I'm kind of bored with it. It's kind of like we have this spectrum, and I get we're all in some place here. So whether you hate him or love him, you have to at least admit this. No one has impacted the planet like Jesus. Nobody. There's not been one person who has impacted this planet like one person. Now catch where he was born. 40 square acre town called Nazareth. How is it that one person born in 40 square acre podunk little town Nazareth has impacted the world in such a way that your birthday is connected to his? You sit there and go, how do you mean? The whole calendaring system is based upon one guy born in 40 square acre town, Nazareth. B.C. and A.D. Guys, we're A.D. We're after the birth of Christ. Guys, the whole calendaring system of the planet is based upon the birth of this little boy who grew up to be a man, who took a cross, who died and came back from the dead. See, the whole thing's based upon this God who came for us because we can't get to him. Guys, every other religion on the planet is about us trying to do enough good things to get to God. Christianity is the only one that tells us this. You cannot do enough good things to get to God. So God came for us. It's the only one. There's no other religion on the planet that talks about God coming for us, becoming a man, being fully God, fully man at the same time. No other religion. And nothing else has moved this planet like following Jesus. So here's what I'm going to ask, okay? Worship team can come back up. I'm going to ask this. Will you give God a week? 1 week from now until you guys go home on Saturday. We give him 1 week, wherever you're at in this walk, okay? I mean, come on. If you're here and you say, I don't like Jesus, can you at least give him a week to see? It's like, what do all these people give up their lives for? Why are there so many people dying for this Jesus guy? I mean, over the years, why has he been so important? Can you at least say, okay, I'll give him a week. I mean, I don't think it'll happen, but I'll give him a week. So whether you're here or if you're here, wherever in between, and this is for students, volunteers, counselors, youth pastors, Hume Lake staff, everybody, it's not like we just preach. I don't just preach to the students. So wherever you're at in the spectrum, will you give God 1 week? 1 week to do something huge. I'm going to ask you that. Here's the invitation. This isn't about, you don't have to stand up. This isn't about surrendering to Jesus for the first time getting saved. This is just, okay, God, I'll give you a week. The only thing is this. If you give him a week, you have to engage. That means in your cabin discussion groups, you have to ask questions. You have to give your opinions. During chapel, you got to be engaged. Bring your Bible. I mean, you have to do your part. Don't just sit there, I'm going to sit like I'm in a wagon. Just wait for Jesus to do it. No, you have to engage the process. So, with everyone looking, say, I'll give God a week. Sure, I'll give him a week. Or, absolutely, I love when God works. Wherever you're at in the spectrum, if you say, I'll give him a week, with everyone looking, say, just put your hand up. I'll give him a week. I'll see what happens. I'll give him a week. Way up, not halfway Baptist, like way up charismatic, okay? There you go. I'll give him a week. Give him a week. I'll give you a week. What's a week? Okay, but you'll engage, right? You'll engage, so you guys are going to have the greatest week of your life. And it's going to be kind of tough at parts, but God's going to do something huge, you watch. Let me pray, okay? Jesus, thank you. God, as we've raised our hands to say, I'll give you a week. God, I pray we're attentive to what it is that you have to say. God, I pray that you would speak and do amazing things in each of our lives. Not just these students, mine as well. God, I want to know you better. I want to follow you better. I want to fall in love with you more and more. But God, for these students, God, I pray that as they're open to you, that you would work like never before. That they would know that they are adored and loved by the King of the universe, who desires for them to have the most personal and intimate relationship they've ever imagined. God, thank you for them. God, I pray they have a blast. I pray this week is one that they just go, oh, I can't wait for next year. But Jesus, we are here. We want to experience you in a real way. We want to trust you more. God, do your work as only you can. So God, as we continue to worship and then as we get out of here, God, to you be all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. For you alone are worthy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone who agrees says, amen.